And to get started with traffic here, things are looking good in throughout the Monterey Bay area. Note, there is going to be rain later this evening. Keep your eyes, just to keep that in mind, especially coming down 17. That's been the first rain in a while, so it's going to be kind of slick out there. Just to give you a heads up. 70 forecast, it's currently 60 degrees at the KSCO station. Partly sunny skies tonight. We have highs into the 50s. It's going to be partly cloudy this evening, foggy, rain likely, 70% chance of precipitation this evening, lows into the 50s. For the next 6 to 7 days, we're going to get some rain. It's going to be nice and wet here. Highs touching 65 average during the day. Patchy fog at night, lows into the 50s. For you boaters, note, small craft advisory in effect through late tonight. Again, small craft advisory in effect through late tonight. And with that said, my next show with you guys this evening is with Wake the Bear. I hope you enjoy the show.
Welcome to Wake the Bear Radio with your host, Brandon Johnson, Chris Hurst, and Ron Powers.
Welcome to Wake the Bear Radio.
Awesome. Another night. Another night of Wake the Bear.
We are here. My name is Brandon Johnson. Ron Powers over there. And Chris Hurst is on the phone, is she not?
Can we hear you?
Oh, we have Chris out of town, but she's on the show with us tonight.
Yes.
And we have got an amazing Wake the Bear for you tonight. Wake the Bear, you guys know, Wake the Bear is about waking up the bear of California. It's waking up the people, restoring their roar.
That's right.
Yeah. And people's voices have been taken away. People are constantly feeling like, how come what I believe and what I care about is being totally pushed aside, and I just feel like I have no voice? And we really started Wake the Bear Radio to be able to actually change that for you and let you know you're not alone. And a friend of mine said recently, he said, we're not outnumbered. We're just out-organized, and we got to start organizing. Ladies and gentlemen, I think about what the founding fathers said, that they gave up their sacred honor, their fame, their fortunes, their good name, for the sake of this, the freedom of this nation. And some of us won't even get off the couch and stop watching Thursday night football and go to a board meeting and talk to our elected officials. We've got to get up there and tell them what we think and feel about what's going on in our state, our nation, but especially in the Bear, California.
That's right. And part of waking up the Bear is networking and figuring out what's happening and getting different news, alternative news, you know. And so this week has been an exciting week. I've been looking forward to it all week. This is going to be a great night. This night we're going to be talking about the doctrine of the lesser magistrate. Ooh. And we'll get into that. That's kind of a bunch of fancy words.
Yeah, it sounds a little dry. The doctrine of the lesser magistrates.
Yes.
What's that mean, Ron? Doctrine of the lesser magistrates.
Well, doctrine would be a teaching, and okay, the lesser magistrate. Now, a magistrate is a person in authority. An example would be there's three levels of government. We have like federal, we have state, and we have a local or municipal, and they'd all be different forms of magistrates. They'd be higher magistrates, and then the middle, and then the lower. And you could even have magistrates within the family, like a parent would be the magistrate over a child. And so that's basically all that big word or that interesting word really means.
So various powers and authorities. And one of the things that our founding fathers realized that when people have too much power, it corrupts them. Absolute power corrupts and corrupts absolutely, right? That's that phrase, power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. And we realized that our founding fathers realized they needed to separate the powers, and they needed to make it so that various forms of powers could not, were able to resist if one of those groups of powers became corrupt.
Absolutely. Hey, before we get into tonight's topic, did you go out this week? I think you went out this week or was it today?
Yeah, no, yesterday we did, there was a protest out on the streets, out at the downtown Santa Cruz at the light. Not the light, but the clock tower.
Yes.
And there was a good 200 people there marching for medical freedom for children. And a lot of those people, I talked to them, and they were like, listen, this is my line in the sand. Like, my children, nobody messes with my kids. And demanding that I inject them with an experimental vaccine that hasn't even been proven, that killed all the cats and killed all the ferrets that took it. No bueno. Yeah, it's one thing for you to decide if you want to take it, but to demand my children take it, We had a lot of very grumpy parents out there saying, no way.
Wow. Well, you know what? Let's get into it now. Let's get into the tonight's topic. You know, there's nothing new under the sun, and we can go back, and let's go back into a little bit of history just to kind of give a foundation of where this whole doctrine of the lesser magistrate comes from.
Because you know, laws are good. We want the law. But some laws are bad, right?
Yes.
And that's the focus of separation of powers and the doctrine of lesser magistrates. I was reading Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. from the Letters of Birmingham Jail. He said, he was quoting Thomas Aquinas, and he said, I'm under duty to follow a just law, but an unjust law, that's one that does not square with God's law, I'm under a duty not to follow that law. And so that's where we get into. He was exercising the right of a lesser magistrate when he was doing that. So let's talk about it. What's the history, Ron, of lesser magistrate? What does it mean? What does lesser magistrates even mean?
So a lesser magistrate would be someone of a lower authority.
Okay.
And basically what you have is if you have an upper authority and he's making bad laws, it is the responsibility of the lower authorities to resist that, because the lower authority is supposed to represent its citizens.
That's right.
So for an example, if you had a governor that just went off and said, hey, you need to do this, and it was a really evil law, the local mayor or the sheriff should say, hey, I want to see what my people think, right, and I represent them. And if the people say, hey, we don't want that, that's an evil law, then that lower or lesser magistrate would represent those people, and he would resist the authority that's above him.
That's right.
And so that's what they're to do. Instead of just saying, well, I'm just doing what the people upstairs told me to do.
You know,
I'm just following orders.
Right.
And there's a big thing about that, following orders. I mean, so let's go back into a little history here, just to give a little bit of background. So I'm going to start with you probably heard this in history class, the Magna Carta.
Magna Carta.
So 1199 AD in England, at the death of Richard the Lionheart, his younger brother was crowned king, and it was John the First. And this was about the Robin Hood era. So we all know Robin Hood, good movies and all that.
Yes,
Men in Tights. he was egotistical. Oh, I hear. Okay, I do hear Chris.
Chris is there.
You can chime in at any time. She is halfway across our country right now. So he
I am weighing in from Oklahoma City.
Welcome.
The Men in Tights, I couldn't let that go.
Absolutely. So, with your sound, you might want to just speak up a little bit more, just so we can equalize the sound. So anyway, he's in power, and he's very egotistical, autocratic. He lost Normandy, and Normandy was it was in a union for 150 years, and he loses it. So all of a sudden, the people, all the confidence left, and the people did not have any confidence in him. And so he tried to save face and recover some of these lands. So he tried to win parts of France. He imposed these royal edicts in Ireland and forced the Scots to recognize him as an overlord, and he terrorized the wealth.
Wow.
Well, to pay for all this extra work he was doing, trying to save face, he decides to impose a 13% tax.
Wow.
So that's the background. So he's really a bad king. The people hate him. By 1205, the Archbishop of Canterbury, his seat was vacated. So King John said, I'm not going to fill it. He says, in fact, I won't fill it. I'll take his money. And so the money that was supposed to go to him, he takes it, and he starts using it for his own stuff. And so the Pope comes along and assigns a bishop anyway. So 10 years later, by about 1215, the English barons, they revolt against him because of these excessive taxes, and they joined the church against the king. And so now the church buildings and the land were all confiscated and used for the king's purposes.
Wow.
So now the people and the church, they do not like this king at all.
Power corrupt in here.
Absolutely. So by June 15th, 1215, the barons and the archbishop, they chased down King John, and they forced him to sign a document called the Magna Carta. Yes, and it's the cover of the Doctrine of the Lesser Magistrate's book that Brandon has. We'll have links to that where you can get that in our show notes. And so the Magna Carta, you probably heard of some of the things it represents. It says that it talked about the right to due process, the protection against unlawful search and seizure, freedom from taxation without representation, complete freedom of and autonomy of the English church. Do any of those things sound familiar?
Yeah, I mean, that is the basis. The Magna Carta, many of us who studied civics and studied government in our early years in elementary, the Magna Carta was considered the document that was the predecessor to the Bill of Rights that we have today. It was the prototype that was used, and it was used all throughout England for, and you know, there was kings that followed it and kings that didn't, and kings that didn't were tyrannical, and kings that followed it were, you know, following the right rule of law. So yeah, that's Magna Carta is a major part of
absolutely
our history.
And from that point on, any king subsequently after that who violated the Magna Carta was considered a tyrant. So yeah, that's where we get the definition of a tyrant, basically.
Yeah.
And so the second example, a shorter one, was the Magdeburg Confession. So in 1517, remember Martin Luther? He found all these issues with the Roman Church.
Yep.
And so he...
Protestant Reformation.
Yep. He nailed these 95 theses, these issues that he had with the church, on a Wittenberg door of the church. They used to do that, like you'd nail it on Friday, and that would be the topic that they would cover on Sunday. So that's basically a common
thing. It's
like
posting on Facebook, basically.
Yes.
He posted on Facebook, hey, church, there are 95 things here that really suck about the church, and they got to change. And not then the reason they stink, see, I'm changing my language here. They suck. The reason they stink is because they don't follow the word of God, the law, the Bible. And the church was operating without following the common law, which the common law in that day would have been the word of God. The authority, he's saying, listen, the Pope is not the authority. The word of God is the authority, and the Pope needs to function under the word of God. Just like we would say the rule of law, the king cannot function any way he wants to.
That's right.
So he challenged the rogue Catholic Church. And most Catholics today would say, yeah, everything he said was right on. Those were bad things that were going on in the Catholic Church, and so glad that they were reformed. But it took a Lutheran monk to really
someone from within. He wasn't trying to overthrow it, but he was trying to change it.
Yeah, he loved the church. He didn't want to destroy it or divide it. He wanted to reform it.
Yeah, absolutely. So anyway, by 1521, Emperor Charles V, he commanded Luther to recant those theses, said, knock it off.
Yeah.
He said, and this was at the Diet at Worms.
Diet at Worms, yeah.
Yes, that was a big...
His famous speech, right?
Yes.
He says, this is where I stand, I can do no other.
That's
so
right.
Help me God, right?
Yep. And the nice thing about him was he would lay it all out in scripture and was like, hey, let's debate. Let's get into it.
Yeah.
And so, but they were unwilling to do that, or at least unwilling to listen. So anyway, he lived under a lesser magistrate's jurisdiction, a man by the name of Prince Frederick the Wise.
Mm.
And he was the Elector of Saxony. And so all of Europe followed the Edict of Rome except for this particular magistrate, and he rebelled. So what this emperor did, or what Frederick did, was he faked Luther's kidnapping, and then he protected him. So they thought he was kidnapped. They didn't know where he was at, and he was really being hidden by him.
Well, because Emperor Charles basically said, if anybody helps Luther, if anybody supports him in any way, you're going to be harmed, right? And they wanted to arrest Luther, and ultimately would have put him to death as a heretic. But it was the prince, right, that said no.
So it was just one magistrate in all of Europe that preserved Luther enough to preserve the Reformation. So that's powerful because,
wow,
you know, we think, does everyone have to get on board? No, actually, we just need to make a stand whether no one else does or not. And so this is a great example. And so part of this, is the magistrate is an ordinance of God to bring honor to good works and to bring terror to the evil works. That's in Romans 13.
Yep, Romans 13.
And so wherever this begins, this is part of this, Magdeburg Confession here. It says, therefore, when he begins to be a terror to good works and honor to evil, there is no longer in him, because he does thus the ordinance of God, but the ordinance of the devil.
Yeah, and I have people constantly saying things to me like, oh, Brandon, you know, you need to follow the law. You know, we need to follow the laws. That's constantly, you got to follow this law because that's what the Bible says in Romans 13. And of course, I'm a pastor and I follow the word of God. But the problem is that people are interpreting that to mean that we follow unjust laws. And that's not what the Bible teaches. It teaches that we follow just laws, not unjust laws.
Right.
But of course, Romans 13 has been used over and over and over again to justify tyrannical behavior by people in power and to demand people follow them, and that's not God's heart at all.
That's right. You know, I think there's a big miscommunication, or I don't know, disconnect with people when they read Romans 13, where it says, let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. And so some people read that as any authority, God established it.
Right.
instead of, no, any authority that you're to recognize is the one that God established,
right?
And you could, you know, you could do the old Hitler argument, right? Did God establish Adolf Hitler? Are you supposed to follow him and help gas the Jews?
Heck no.
You know, so no, of course not. And that's an obvious one, but then there's less obvious in today. Mm-hmm. And so what do you think, Chris? Do you have anything you want to chime in on with this?
Oh, yeah, I'm ready to say something from Oklahoma.
Go for it.
Yeah, one of the things that our early national founders they knew it was part of their culture, it was part of what brought them to this country, is they remembered that all authority is delegated authority. That's that right. Includes our authority over our kids. It includes governors over us. And it's delegated by God, and it's delegated by us. So no one who holds a state office rules autonomously. And so I just want to send that message out in the airways, as the legislation in our state of California is making some pretty crazy laws, and our governor is still working under a state of emergency. The authority that he has, it's delegated by God, and right. I just want to speak that out in the airways so that we know we voted for him, yes, but he is representing us. And should be speaking and legislating and doing decisions based on our welfare. And so there's an accountability to God, too. And when the state commands that which God forbids, or forbids that which God commands, we have a duty to obey God rather than man. And that's really the line in the sand that our nation's founders drew. And it's something that we ought to follow, that example, that we have a duty to obey God rather than man.
So good, Chris. I mean, they really said, ultimately, that duty is, if you are obeying a tyrant, you're actually obeying Satan by obeying a tyrant. You have the duty to disobey a tyrant and to obey the law of God.
Yeah, that's clear in the confession as well. Mm-hmm. That was the conclusion they had. You know, Brandon, are there examples in the scriptures that show resistance to authorities that God had, you know, he had approved?
Yeah, plenty. I mean, there's plenty stories. I mean, the Bible is just lists of stories and stories of when Satan or those who are functioning under evil authority are trying to usurp the righteous law of God. It's a whole battle between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent, right, from Genesis 13. And that plays out in the Egyptian midwife story in Exodus chapter 1, verse 15 through 20. What happened was a Pharaoh rose who did not recognize the Jews, and they said, they're becoming too numerous. And so what I want you to do is I want you to kill all the babies. I want the midwives to kill the babies, infanticide, when they're born. But the midwife said, heck no, we're not going to kill the Hebrew babies. And they were Egyptians. And so they defied the Pharaoh's order and didn't kill the children. And the Pharaoh's like, didn't I tell you to do this? And then they made up a lie to cover their rear ends. And they said, well, The Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women. They have their babies so fast. By the time we get there, they're already born, which of course, you know, was a fib. So they actually chose to lie, and they chose to disobey because the unrighteous law of Pharaoh told them to kill the children, the midwives. And of course, that's how Moses was born. They protected Moses, and he was born and became the leader of the Israelites. And God used him and raised him up to deliver Israel from the hands of the Pharaoh and to deliver Israel to its own nation and its own promised land. So that's one of the major ones. The other one that really sticks out to me, and it's a beloved story since I was a kid, is the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That's in the Bible, in the book of Daniel, the famous prophet. And man, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, these three guys were magistrates within the government. And they rose to a position of power and leadership, but they were a lesser magistrate. And some other magistrates, what happened was the king made this decree, King Nebuchadnezzar, he made this decree, and he basically said, everybody's going to have to bow down to this idol that's made in my image. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are like, hey, we're Jews. We don't bow. We can't do that. And basically, they brought him in front. They played this music, and they were supposed to bow at the moment of the music was played, and they didn't. And then they brought him before the king, and the king was like, "Hey, these are my guys. I like these guys. They're good magistrates. Wait, okay, I'm going to give you another chance. Here's the music. Now bow." And they're like, and then like they didn't. He said, "Why aren't you doing this?" And they basically said this to the king. They said this to King Nebuchadnezzar, who was like the king of the entire region of the ancient Near East. They said, "We don't even need to think about how we will address you, O king. It is, we will not bow, and our God is able to save us from your hands. But if he does not save us, we still will not bow." And that was a holy defiance that they gave to the king. And then, of course, the penalty was being thrown into this fiery furnace that nobody could live. In fact, the guys that threw them in got burnt just by throwing them in. And God protected them through that furnace. And it says that a fourth man was in the fire with them. The king saw. They pulled them out. They didn't even smell like smoke. It was a miracle. They weren't killed.
Man.
And so there's, you know, that's two of the really famous stories. And then, of course, the book of Daniel, which I cited before, that actually happened to the prophet Daniel. He had this, we talked about this at church actually on Sunday night. Daniel, the prophet, had this practice of cultivating relationship with God. And he would open his window every day and worship the Lord and pray to the Lord and cry out for help. And Daniel was like one of the top three presidents within the magistrates of the government there. And there was a plot that was hatched, a conspiracy, to get rid of Daniel because the other magistrates didn't like him. He was risen to power. And so basically, they basically said, "Hey, the only way we're going to be able to get any dirt on Daniel is if it has to do with his God. So let's get the king to make a law that basically says, basically tells Daniel that he, you know, you can't pray. You have to pray to the God. You have to pray to no other gods but the God of the king." And Daniel went to his house and opened his window three times a day, just like he normally did. He could have hid himself. He defiantly opened his window and prayed to his God. And they said, "Hey, this guy, didn't you make a law, king, that this guy can't pray to his own God? He has to pray to you." And he continues to do it. He defies you. So basically they threw him in the lion's den, and God protected him. He didn't die. The lions didn't touch him.
And I love that story.
It's a great story.
You know, there's a lot of parallels even from today. I mean, you know, if I remember that story right, they said it was a 30-day decree. It's like
right.
2 weeks to flatten
two
the
weeks
curve.
2 weeks to flatten the curve, and you worship some other god and not your own.
Yeah, or just don't worship at all or pray at all. Just do it to yourself quietly,
yeah,
and you could get away with it, right? But no, he didn't. He defied, and he didn't change anything. He said, "This is the way I've always worshiped. I'm not going to alter to accommodate this because this is taking away what I believe is correct and right." And so I was really encouraged by reading that story. The other one, too, with Rachak, Meshach, and Abednego, it had said that the Jews were not bowing down, but they went after those three because they were magistrates.
Yeah.
So they were in positions of authority. And so a lot of times I see that today, that if you're a celebrity, or they'll cancel you, you know, if you're well known. But the smaller person seems to have a lot more leeway, for now at least. And so, you know, those of us that don't have big audiences or anything like that, I mean, we really have no excuse, you know, to really stand up for what's
right.
Well,
and I think of things like, you know, well, what happens if a rogue government demands their police or their military fire on their own citizens when in an unlawful way, right? It's like they said, well, we just followed the rules. Like, and that goes back to even like the Nuremberg trials where they were doing experiments in Hitler, or Hitler was doing this in Nazi Germany. In the Nuremberg codes, they said, "Hey, we were just following orders. We were in our system of law, we were doing the right thing." And they said, no, you violated God's law and you violated nature's law and nature's God. And so there's a higher law that even than this court. And you violated that, and so they were hung for doing test experiments on prisoners without their consent and with coercion.
So, you know, while you're on that, you brought that that code up. How's that applied to today? Because I know that a lot of people are quoting that law that came with the Nuremberg trial.
Well, I mean, it's okay if someone wants to take a vaccine, like right now. Someone wants to take a vaccine. Maybe Chris wants to chime in here. They're welcome to do so, but they're not welcome to demand I do so. And I honor their right and their choice to take a vaccine or not take a vaccine, and they need to honor my right and my choice to not take it in consistency with my conscience and my belief about what I put in my body. And I want to honor them, and they need to honor me. When you say, no, you need to do this or you can't keep your job, I mean, like, they're doing that with the military right now. It scares the heck out of me because, like, that can actually violate, that can actually damage our national security. And our, you know, but right now there's a lawsuit that was filed by Matt Staver and Liberty Counsel against the all the branches of the military to stop the upper echelons from exercising unjust laws against these who are under their authority. They are military personnel. So there's multiple ways that this law, this is why this is so important, the doctrine of lesser magistrates, that people understand it clearly, that you have a right, and not only a right, but you have a duty to not follow unjust laws.
That's right.
That's so good. That's good, Brandon. I wanted to just, while you're on the subject of conscience, you know, when one of the things God said he was going to do after he had Moses write the law, he had a prophecy that said, I'm going to write the law on your heart. And that's what he's done. He has written his law on every single person, man, woman, and child's heart. And that is our conscience. And that's what our conscience, when it pricks us, it's because we're doing something that's probably violating his law,
right,
his way of doing things, like the law of gravity. He's not this mean magistrate. He designed us, and he knows how we work. So when we go against the designer's design, when you put diesel gas, fuel in a gas engine, it's not going to run very well. And God knows how he designed us. So our conscience is part of that process. And one of the exemptions that is for the most of the vaccine mandates is you got the religious exemption, you got the health exemption, you're allergic to the stuff in the vax, and then you have a conscience.
Conscientious
exemption.
Yeah.
So that's what conscientious objectors are. It's when this thing, it just doesn't sit right with me. It's against my conscience. So that's another piece of the puzzle. But I wanted to also just talk a little bit about the lesser magistrate. There's two things. The reason we're talking about this tonight is that there's a process when the government oversteps and opposes unjust laws, or they impose they impose unjust laws, and it requires two things. It requires the lesser magistrate, who in our society would be like the governors, if it's the president of the United States, or it would be the mayors, the county governor, government. It would be judges, sheriffs, mayors, governors, council members, legislators, school administrators, school boards. Those would be the lesser magistrates. But the thing is, if they're not doing something, it also requires us. It requires we the people, because the truth is that if we don't rise up and say we're not happy with this, we have a responsibility in speaking forth and pleading our case. So we need to put demands on the lesser magistrates in the areas that they've forsaken, forgotten, or they may not even have a civics background to understand their roles completely. And we need to press them to stand up for us and to defy bad laws. And then we need to rally behind them when they do make a stand, because they're putting their necks out. And so there's a responsibility for us as citizens to both put a demand on, and then when they stand up for us, to rally around
them. Cheer them on.
The lesser magistrates, often they will not, and haven't through history, they will not act until people plead their case. And that's what we do when we write letters to our people that are representing us, so that we're pleading our case and we're saying, you are our representatives. Now represent us.
Represent us. That's good, Chris.
Very good. Hey, we're going to take a station break for a second. We're at KSCO, 1080 AM, and we're going to be taking phone calls at 8:40, so in 5 minutes.
If you're out there and you're listening right now and you want to chime in, you want to point out something that we said that you agree with or disagree with or make a comment or even a question, please call in.
Yeah, please do.
479-1080, 479-1080 KSCO.
All right. Very good. Very good. Hey, you know, one of the big things, as Chris was saying, that a lower magistrate is to do is to represent, it's to be a buffer between the upper and the lower.
That's good.
And so that's really what they're to do. So a good magistrate will represent his people, not just follow orders from the higher magistrate. Right. Their job is to represent who's below them.
And that is designed to be a separation of powers so that there is not collusion above with a bigger, a greater power. Pushing and enforcing its will on a lesser power. And that's why you have that balance that we have between the states and the federal government. That itself is a lesser magistrate, purposely separation of powers. That exists. But one of the things that Chris pointed out that I liked is she said, you know, that all authority is delegated authority. And each of us have been given a sphere. And it's time for us to not abnegate our responsibility to use that delegated authority righteously. The Bible says that justice and righteousness are the foundations of God's throne. And when you stand in justice and righteousness, when you speak out, you are standing under the justice and righteousness of God and on his throne. And so it's time to speak up. It's time to use your voice. It's time to not sit on the couch. It's time to speak out. And you are using your right as an American citizen. You're using your right to follow God's law. And one of the things that we had back when I was teaching I was teaching over at Valley Christian High School a couple of years ago, one of the board members always would say, constantly when they would get up and speak, the principal, the chairman of the board would say, listen, you parents are the primary educators of your children. Mm. You have delegated some of that job to us, and we consider that a sacred trust, and not to violate that. So when people are saying, we're going to do these to your kids, we're not going to let them come, we're going to make them mask up, we're going to vaccinate them, we're like, no. You are functioning under delegated authority that we've given you, and if you don't do it, we're going to remove you from that position of authority. And that's what we need to remember to do.
Yeah, I think people have forgotten just how much power the people have and how this country was set up that the power was with the people. You know, mm-hmm. it's just following
orders. We the
orders.
People it's are the government, yeah. Not the people above us, the elites. We are the government. They need to fear their people, not our people fear their government. That's the wrong way.
That's right. I think the educational system has probably contributed to that misunderstanding greatly. And so it's sad to see. Any phone calls yet? Nope, we don't have any yet. Please call in if you want.
Please call
chime in. You know what? Let's can we run an advertisement?
Yep.
Yeah, let's
run
it
out about a. Yeah, we love these guys.
Yep.
There's no ocean in Malawi, and we just found this beautiful lake that goes to three different countries: Malawi, Mozambique, Tanzania. This is a big body of water, and so you get 2-3 foot wind waves. And pretty much daily, you have waves you can ride. Being a Santa Cruz local, being a surfer from the west side, we just saw this lake and we thought we could use it to bring a different thing into this area that's never been done before. And the locals saw us, and then we saw the interest of the locals going, what are these people doing out in the water where there's crocodiles, there's hippos? So we just wanted to bring the love of surfing to this area. And we did it, and it really just took off. We got surf contests going once a year, but 365 days a year, we have programs in this area. We have a school that has over 1,000 kids. We're doing ag projects. We're doing solar projects. We're doing water projects. We're doing all these different things in the community, but done locally. We kickstart them in their business, and off they go. So it's a self-sustaining method of doing this. The surf contest is just a big party to celebrate what we've done all year.
If you would like more information on how you can participate or support this effort, please visit our website at his2offer.com. That's his2offer.com.
Wake the Bear Radio. Welcome back to Wake the Bear Radio. I'm Brandon Johnson. Ron Powers over here. Chris is on the line. We are talking tonight about the doctrine of lesser magistrates. It sounds a little bit stuffy, but it's not. It's very interesting. It's something we all need to learn about. And we have some callers calling in right now. So let's get some comments and some calls going through here.
Okay. Unfortunately, with the board, I do not have it coming up. So we are going to work with our sound engineer. Callers, just hang on. Oh, one just got off.
Blessed name.
Hey, well, we're doing that.
Yes, Chris.
Let me just give a shout out for some lesser magistrates that have stood up for Californians during the lockdown.
Come on.
I know Fresno Sheriff Marguerite Mims. She stood out. She kept her county open, and she did not shut down her businesses during the lockdown. And Sheriff Chad Bianco of Riverside County, he was one of my heroes during the hardest part of the lockdown. He said, and I quote, "I refuse to make criminals out of business owners,
come on,
single moms, and otherwise healthy individuals who are exercising their constitutional right."
Yes.
And he said about the lockdown orders that they eliminated constitutional freedoms and that were placed over 200 years ago. And in the name of a public health crisis, our civil liberties and constitutional protections were being placed on hold. And so those are some examples of very courageous sheriffs who were lesser magistrates.
Wow, that's good, Chris. Awesome. Okay, we got a caller, Chris.
Yeah,
let's listen
see
to this.
This one works here. It's different than we've done in the past.
Okay, go for it.
Caller, you're on the air. I don't know your name, but if you could tell us, that would be great.
Caller, you're on the air with Wake the Bear Radio, KSEO.
I'm sorry. Yeah, Hannah, can you hear us?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
there she
can
is.
You hear me?
Yeah, perfect.
Yes, we can hear you, Hannah. Yes, we got a comment or a question?
Yeah, I just wanted to say, so I'm a licensed attorney in the state of New York, but from just like a legal perspective, you know, there's always emphasis on, are things constitutional? Does this violate our constitutional rights? But I think it's really important what you're talking about with being willing to stand up based on conscience, because I think that regardless of which way the law goes, I think it's important for us as Christians to be willing to stand up against the, you know, what is technically the law of the land, because really at the end of the day, it comes down to what the Supreme Court decides when it comes to these vaccine mandates. If they decide to rule that it is within constitutional powers, whether we agree with that or not, we have to come back and still live within our conscience and follow our conscience before God, whether or not, you know, the law is the law. And then on the other side, obviously, there's a fight on the legal side that we have a lot of ways to fight from a legal standpoint. But at the end of the day, like you guys are saying, we have to be willing to stand up in the face of tyranny,
yeah,
regardless of
Hannah, I love what you're saying there. You know, even if there's unjust laws made, even if the Supreme Court, the highest law of the land, says this is okay, it's not okay. I mean, the Supreme Court at some point said slavery was okay, and it never jived with God's law. And so...
Well, they say abortion is okay, and I definitely disagree with that. So yeah. I think, you know, it's important for us to stick to our guns regardless of what happens down the road. But on the other hand, I think a lot of people misconstrue past precedent from the Supreme Court about vaccine mandates, because there's one case from 1905, and it was a pretty narrow decision. I think people extrapolate from that and make assumptions about what is currently okay now, and it's going to be interesting to see what the Supreme Court does in these next coming months.
That's really good. Thank you for calling, Hannah.
Thanks, Hannah.
I want to add about that, you know, body sovereignty is the most important fundamental, like what you put in your body has to be your choice. And we have slowly let these rules creep in and these changes to laws. And what I put in my body is my choice. And people said, well, did you have a problem with the other vaccines? I'm like, no, because they were years and years and years of study. And I chose to put them in my body. And this one, I choose not to. It doesn't really matter if I chose a vaccine before. These are actually significantly different. mRNA technology is significantly different. It's not traditional vaccines. And you know, so there's... Yeah, I agree with that, Hannah. We need to stick to our guns, no matter whether the government makes an unjust law or not. And hopefully the lower magistrates protect us. That's our hope.
Okay, we're going to try another caller. Again, we're experimenting here with this board here.
Yeah.
Are you on?
You... Rebecca?
Hi, yes. Rebecca.
Hi, Rebecca.
You have a question or a comment?
Hi. I live in Santa Cruz, California.
Awesome.
Awesome.
And I heard that Chris there talking about unjust laws. And so, like, I'm a paralegal in progress, and I think one problem with our country is that we have too many laws.
Yes.
And it's so outrageous and overwhelming that when you leave your house in the morning, you don't even know if you've broken a law just going 5 blocks down the street.
That's a good point.
Yes, that's a good point. And you see
and
that pattern.
A lot of the laws are actually violating people's rights. So what I did on Monday, October 18th, was I filed a claim against the city of Santa Cruz, Public Works, County Board of Supervisors, and the Parks and Open Space Director. And, like, there, this law about parking, I can't believe that they're taking away people's cars, people's trucks, people's RVs. And I wanted to start a petition drive to get a lot of signatures, because I want to sue this city for her parking laws under the municipal code parking laws. And, like, if they take people's cars away and people are living in them, then these people, if they don't have a car to live in or an RV or a truck, then they're going to end up living on the street. And we're trying to get rid of the homeless on the street, but yet at the same time they're taking cars, trucks, and RVs away from the citizens, even the homeless people. And you don't have to be homeless just to have your car or truck taken away. But I filed a $5 million claim, and I'm sick of it. I'm fed up with it. I'm a Christian mother, Christian lay chaplain assistant, and a paralegal in progress, and first-time author, and I've had it. I've had it.
So you're standing up. This is exactly what we need. This is part of waking up the bear.
This is how it works. You got it, Rebecca. You got to speak out. You have to petition your government. Some people say, oh, we got to do this. We got to do this. First thing you need to do is go and tell them that this is unjust, that needs to be addressed, and that they need to do something to shift and change the way the law has been made. And I want to commend you, Rebecca, standing up for what you believe. That's awesome.
Hey, did you say you were gathering people for this or something? Do you need signatures?
I have a few volunteers that me and a few volunteers could go around and collect signatures from people that have had their cars illegally stolen. I'm calling it illegally theft. It's theft upon our property.
Right.
And they do it in a way that makes it legal, so I'm calling it legalized stealing of our vehicle.
Okay. So, just because we got to go on to the next caller, do you have a way of information?
Yeah, a way of people contacting you to agree with you and would like to support what you're doing?
I guess I could give them an email.
Email would be good, nice and clear, real quick here, because we got to take another caller.
Okay. Why don't I give them a phone number?
Okay.
Go for it.
Okay. So, the phone number I'm using for the lawsuit is 831.
Okay.
854-3646. 831-854-3646.
Great.
Hey, thank you so much. We got to go on to the next.
Thanks for calling. Appreciate that, Rebecca.
God bless you.
God bless you.
Okay.
All right. Bye-bye.
Okay, another one. Let's go with... I'm waiting to find out. Line two? No, we don't. Okay, line two.
Hello?
Hi.
Hello. Welcome. What's your name?
Hello? John.
Hi, John. You're on with KSCO Radio, Wake the Bear.
Thank you for accepting my call. I'm very much interested in the Christian influence over the government, because I believe that the authors of the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, and the Bill of Rights had every intention of making life on earth almost like in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's good.
The problem is the arrogance of the people who swear an oath to uphold their constitution based on what the Declaration of Independence and the Bill of Rights have to say are jealous, and they have no intentions of bowing to maybe people like me, an old black man who's retired now, but I think we have a solution, and it's in the Constitution.
Amen.
I'm just disappointed that so many people don't read that book and understand it.
Yes.
For an example, Article 1, Section 8, Number 15 of the Constitution says, Congress shall provide for the calling forth the militia to execute the laws of the Union. That means run the country.
Mm-hmm.
Suppress insurrection. Insurrection is something that the people shall prosecute, not the government, and repel invasion. These people that are crossing the border right now, they're invaders, not people who are people that have a right to come to the country. They don't have a right to come to the country. And the reason we are in a mix about how to take charge of our government is because our government has deliberately deceived us.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Insurrection in the dictionary is misquoted. Every time you look up insurrection, it says insurrection or rebellion. That don't tell you what insurrection is. Insurrection is an act of breach of allegiance by public officials.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
But you don't find that. There's a place you can find that. It doesn't say breach of allegiance by public officials. It says an effort to make an unlawful change in the government by force.
Mm.
But it's saying the very same thing. Anybody who swears an oath to the Constitution and then try to make a change in the government by force is breaching their allegiance.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, I think one of the issues... Okay, go on.
No, you speak too.
I was just going to say, you know, I think one of the it's not a shortcoming of the Constitution, but it was meant for religious and moral people.
That's right.
And our founding fathers said that.
Yes,
and so for any other people, it says it's inadequate. So if you get evil people, you know, the rights of the righteous are now the rights of the wicked. And it's because they've changed words, they've changed meanings of things, just like you were talking about insurrection. Yes. I mean, you know, supposedly January 6th was supposed to be an insurrection. And it's like, what? You know, if you really look at the details, it's not.
Have you noticed January 6th insurrection is no longer prosecuted as an insurrection?
Yeah, because finally the truth was being able to be leaked
and
out.
The videos. They're still holding people in jail behind the insurrection charge, not letting them go, but they're not charging them with insurrection because the government does not have the authority to prosecute insurrection. The Constitution specifically assigns that authority to the citizens' militia.
Yeah, that's
Article 1, Section 8, 15.
John, you make a really good point. Thanks for calling. We're going to take another call, but I just agree with that.
Okay.
I think that you have a great point there. There are people being held in prison right now, and they were waved in by cops. And the videos are being shown now. There's waving them in, come on in. And then now they're in jail for coming in and peacefully assembling by the direction of the Capitol Police and finally coming out. And they've been in jail for 10 months illegally.
Okay, our next caller, you're on the air.
Hello.
Yes, you're on the air.
Caller, you're on.
Brandon, Ron, James, Mount Hermon.
James.
How's it going?
James, welcome.
You, James.
James from Mount Hermon is on.
Yeah. So what's on your mind?
Well, the idea of transcendence. I mean, we talk about, you know, we should obey God instead of man. And most of the laws, I think, are probably in alignment unless, you know, they're not. But I'm thinking of like Moses on top of Sinai. And God is basically the God who basically asserts himself as being the creator and maker of the entire universe is telling him the law. And because it's not really from a person, it's from the creator.
Mm.
You know, there's a transcendent quality to what God is saying that transcends generation to generation to generation. And, you know, it's like obeying God versus man. I mean, there has to be some sense of an absolute. What is the absolute here that we're actually saying that we're going to obey? You know, and Jesus sums it up. He says, you know, he makes it simple. That the entire law and prophets, they hinge on these two things. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. and love your neighbor as yourself. Mm-hmm. That everything hinges on these things. That if you're confiscating people's vehicles because they're homeless and they're parked in the wrong place, how is that loving your neighbor as yourself? You think of Kent State and our own troops firing on students that are protesting the Vietnam War. I mean, there's all of these things, you know, they fall and can be aligned as to whether or not they're really adhering to these two things, the two greatest commands.
That's really good point.
That Jesus proclaimed, that transcend. It's not really some judge's opinion here or there at some point in time in history. This is transcendent law. This is like the absolute truth that really transcends all the generations.
Yeah.
I think, you know, in terms of all the injustices that we're talking about,
it's really good,
they're
James.
Out of alignment.
They're out of alignment with God's law. That's really the reality. If it's out of alignment with God's law, and that's what it says, if you're out of alignment with God's law, you're actually in line with the enemy's law, which is Satan's law and Satan's rule. And so it's good that you point that out. And, you know, and all of our government is based on the Declaration of Independence, which actually acknowledges nature's God. And it says, you know, that the governments are instituted by man to secure rights that come from God inalienable rights that cannot be bargained, bought, given away. I mean, you're not even allowed to give your rights away. Like, you can, but you're not, like, they're not, you can take them back immediately when you realize, oh, I gave my right away. Like, so people that have said have been wearing masks, been taking vaccines, whatever, and they were told they were had to do it, and they gave it away, they can take it back now and say, I gave my right away, and I'm going to uphold my rights now.
Hey, I just want a closing thought on this. One of the things people are going to say is, well, are these vaccines really an evil law or something like that, or these mandates? And these are some of the issues I have with the current resident that's in Washington. You know, stolen election. I believe it was stolen. You know, you saw the big rallies with Trump, and you saw nothing with Biden. And so I consider that stealing. Stealing his way. I don't think he's legit. Forcing vaccine mandates. You know, it's endangering people. If you really look at the statistics, I mean, it's just approaching, what, 8,000 deaths now? You know, that's that's reported.
Open VARS now has nearly 17,000 deaths on there. And I have people trying to say, oh, those aren't, you can't, we don't know for sure. I'm like, well, how come you treated all the other reports about COVID for sure, but now you're treating these deaths as not for sure?
Right.
I mean, people.
Or all year subsequent up to that.
Right.
Like
17,000 deaths have been reported now.
So
you gotta follow the science, though. Gotta follow the science, and it's unfortunately it's science by gaslight.
Right.
Exactly.
It's not really science. It's basically what's in front of me in the teleprompter to read that I'm calling science.
Yeah.
You know, it has nothing to do with science, because lots of scientists are out there basically pointing this stuff out.
Good point, James. And, hey, we gotta go.
It's not part of the narrative.
We're
right,
wrapping it up.
Guys,
great call. Thanks, James, for calling. You're on the air with we're on the air here with KSCO Radio, Wake the Bear. We are ending our show here. We're glad you called in. We're going to be back next week. We've got a great topic next week. Chris, thank you for calling in.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Ron, for being here.
Yes.
I want to encourage everybody to check out our show notes, which will have all the links of what we talked about today, especially this book called The Doctrine of Lesser Magistrates, and in a video that's really great about it. We'd love you to check into it. We want you to be educated. We want you to know what your rights are. We want you to realize that these are things that have been actually passed down from Christians to Christians to Christians. I mean, every nation, the freest nations on the world have been penetrated by Christians who have established laws that are aligned with God's law. And so we're praying and believing that we as Christians in this nation can take back our voice, speak forth, and reestablish our voice, and that we're on God's team. We're on an atmosphere of righteousness and justice as the foundations of his throne, the Bible says. So thank you for being on with us tonight. Thank you for listening. And we ask you to come join us again next week, huh?
Yes, next week. I don't know what the topic will be, but we'll know by next
week.
It'll
be good.
Yes. Hey,
yeah,
Brandon,
and if you feel like you're in the fire, remember there's a fourth man in the fire with you.
That's right.
That's right.
Good
That's
word,
right.
Chris. Fourth man in the fire.
All right.
Wake the Bear Radio. Join us next week.
Good night.
Good night.
Roar.
This has been Wake the Bear Radio on KSCO, 1080 on your AM dial. Surfing.